From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
It is Wednesday, August 28th. Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. An honor to have you on board with us. Coming up today on Washington Watch, the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability is investigating allegations of political interference by the Biden administration's Department of Health and Human Services after the New York Times revealed how officials lobbied a third-party medical organization to remove age limits for gender mutilation surgeries. Well, Congresswoman Lisa McClain, who sent a letter yesterday to the HHS secretary regarding the investigation, will be joining me about that here in just a moment. And one of the latest ads from the Kamala Harris presidential campaign claims that fixing the border is tough, but so is Kamala Harris. And the amazing part, in the background, it features Donald Trump's border wall. Even some of the legacy media just can't ignore this.
But if you take a look at that ad, one thing that I found striking is if you look, and I think we have the images here, there are at least three points in that ad that show the border wall, Donald Trump's border wall. Is it now the position of the Democrats that they favor the border wall?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, is Harris pulling more pages from the Trump playbook because she knows that he's running on policies that most Americans favor? And is she hoping American voters are going to soon forget where she really stands when it comes to securing the border? Well, I'll discuss this later in the program when I'm joined by Mark Krikorian, who's the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. And speaking of elections, you may have heard by now, but the state of Texas has purged 1.1 million names from their voting rolls since 2021. And that was the year that the governor, Governor Greg Abbott, signed into a law an election integrity bill, SB1. It does a number of things, such as implementing a monthly check on the voter registration list.
There's a lot of distrust in the election process. The best way to restore confidence in the election process is to show that, one, we are removing illegal voters from the rolls, and two, we're doing everything we can to prosecute illegal voters.
That, of course, was Governor Abbott yesterday on News Nation, and we'll talk about what exactly Texas did and what other efforts are underway to protect election integrity. J. Christian Adams, the president of Public Interest Legal Foundation, will join me for that discussion. And then a little bit later, I'll also be joined in the program by Daniel Smith from Liberty Counsel, which is fighting on behalf of an infantry officer who was removed from command by the Idaho National Guard for public statements that he made privately while not in his military capacity. You want to hear that. So we've got a packed show, as always, coming your way. Our website, TonyPerkins.com, lots of information there, including a link to the Family Research Council's 2024 election survey. You've heard me talking about this a lot. If you are concerned about the direction our nation is headed, then your voice needs to be heard. And so we're asking you to join the survey, take a stand for faith, family, and freedom. Let us know the issues that are most important to you this election cycle. To participate in the survey, you can simply text the word election to 67742. That's election to 67742. All right, now jumping into the details of today, a congressional investigation is underway. It's in response to a report that was published earlier this summer by the New York Times that detailed how health officials in the Biden administration lobbied to remove age minimums for gender mutilation surgeries on minors. Why did they do that? Because of concerns over political fallout. Well, in a letter that was sent yesterday, Congresswoman Lisa McClain notified Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra that the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability is investigating allegations of political interference by his department in the recommendations of third-party medical organizations. And joining me now to discuss this is Congresswoman McClain. And by the way, as a part of the Oversight Committee, she is the chairwoman of the Health Care and Financial Services Subcommittee, and she represents the 9th District of Michigan. Congresswoman McClain, always great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Washington Watch.
Good to see you, Jody. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with it. You know, for those who may have missed the New York Times piece, why don't you just kind of bring us up to speed on what they actually uncovered?
Well, what they uncovered and they believe is that the Biden and Harris administration actually bullied or pressured the HHS to remove age from gender transition surgery. So there used to be an age that you had to be 18 years old in order to have this surgery performed upon you. Well, the Biden and Harris administration, as they normally do, you know, they bend a knee to their radical progressive lefts. When it came out, the age requirement or restriction was completely removed. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this administration, we believe, pressured and bullied them to remove the age restriction, where they put their radical agenda above the safety and health of our young children. And let me put this in perspective for you, Jody. This is repulsive, it's disgusting, and it's unfathomable. I cannot imagine a scenario where this makes sense. So I have to be 21 in my state to buy alcohol, to consume alcohol. That makes sense. There's some guardrails. There's some restrictions. Why? Because you grow, you mature, you know, your brain is developing. Now, I have to be 21 years old to buy alcohol, yet I can be of any age to get a gender transition surgery that is not reversible. I cannot reverse it. Once it's done, it's done. Can someone in their right mind explain to me why this makes sense? I can't fathom it.
I can't fathom it either. It is mind boggling. It is beyond disturbing. It is so surreal that we are even dealing with this kind of issue. It appears, and maybe you can clarify this for me, it appears as though all of this they did for political purposes. It was that they were fearful of potential political fallout from their base. And so that is what drove them to this. Is that seemingly what you're finding
out? Well, that's
out?
What we believe, because I can't connect the dots. Yeah, I can assure you why they didn't do that. And why they didn't do it was to protect the safety of our children. That was not number one on their list,
yep.
Right? But
that's for
my
sure.
Goodness,
yeah.
You tobacco companies, make sure that you have all of these disclaimers. I'm not saying that's wrong, but make sure you have the disclaimers. Make sure you're of certain age before you can buy this product. But if you want to do an irreversible surgery, hey, you can do that at 8 years old. Doesn't matter. No, there's no age restriction. They clearly didn't put the children at the top of their list. That's what's so disgusting and repulsive to me.
Yeah, and I think that's a point that needs to be hammered over and over and over. So I think the problems, the concerns with all of this are multiple. I mean, obviously, the children are top, but also the abuse of the federal government to twist this type of stuff, to force it, to churn it, if you will, for political purposes. But as you're sending this letter, Oversight is getting involved. What are you asking for? What are you looking for?
I want to know if there was communication between the administration and in the various departments. I want to know what role that the administration or these departments had had in this. I want to know whose bright idea was it to remove the age restriction. And what I believe that we're going to find out is they don't get to make the laws, right? is that's what Congress does. Why the secrecy? Why is this all undercover? And why is it so bad? So I want to know what role and who played a role in it. And I will assure you this, Jody, I will not rest until we find out those answers, because it is our job to protect our children. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Well, and listen, hats off to you, to everyone on the Oversight Committee and everyone who's involved in this. This is horrifying that is taking place. In fact, the White House, as I understand it, they came out saying they don't support gender-affirming surgery for minors. And then they got a little bit of backlash from that. So they came back and clarified that statement, in essence saying, we believe it ought to be for minors, but we do support the gender-affirming care for minors. Again, it's just bouncing all over the place. And as you said, absolutely with no thought whatsoever for the well-being of the minors.
Exactly. And that's the frustrating part is with this administration. I mean, we see it constantly with the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, Vice President Harris can't figure out what she stands for. She stands for fracking one day. She doesn't stand for fracking. She stands for, oh, we should have age restrictions on this gender transformational, or as you said, mutilation surgery. Oh, no, I don't. Pick an idea. Pick an agenda, pick a policy, and stick to it. But she can't, because she has no clue what she's talking about. And she has no clue what she stands for. She gives a policy, and then she waits to see what her radical base says and how that radical base reacts. That's who she's pandering to. That's who she's catering to. And it's repulsive to me to put her radical agenda over the care and safety and security of minors is disgusting.
Absolutely. Well, listen, before I let you go, because this is really related, it's government putting pressure on Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook. He caved during all the COVID stuff, all that sort of stuff. He caved. He's now admitted that he bowed to the pressure of the Biden administration as they were pushing him to push their narrative. About a minute we have left. Your thoughts on that?
Well, he finally admitted what we knew all along, which was true. He violated the First Amendment. He kowtowed to again, the progressive Democrats or Democrats in general to suppress information. But the problem is this, Jody, what was his consequence? Nothing. Zip. Zilch. Zero. Yeah. And that's what Congress must do, is we must put protections in place that hold these social media companies accountable for their actions. And we have to begin to put protections for the average citizens so these media companies cannot exploit and do what they're doing for political purposes. That's what we need to do. We need to revise some of these protections that these social media companies enjoy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Congresswoman Lisa McClain, thank you so much for joining us. You always do a great job standing tall and proud and effective for all of us. Thank you for joining us this evening on Washington Watch. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. All right, friends, after the break, Mark Krikorian will be joining me to share why we shouldn't just fall for everything Kamala Harris is talking about, her desire for a secure border. Stay tuned. We'll be covering that after the break.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This 3-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, filling in today for Tony. Glad to have you on board with us. Well, if you haven't seen the ad by now, you certainly have heard about it. Quite frankly, it could be a comedy skit, and it would be comedy if it were not real. I mean, Democrats are trying to push a false narrative that Kamala Harris is tough when it comes to border security, and the new ad from the Harris for President campaign tries to build on that using images of Donald Trump's border wall. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And joining me now to talk about all of this is Mark Krikorian. He's executive director at the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Before I get to the ad itself, I want to play a brief little clip from an interview that Harris did back in 2019, back when she was yet again Democrat presidential candidate.
This is irresponsible. It's the height of irresponsibility for the commander-in-chief to suggest that we have to build a wall across our southern border because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
Now, that's what she really believes. I mean, that's all right. So what do we do with this? Are Democrats really all of a sudden tough on the border? Is Kamala Harris now tough on the border?
No, this is just more of the flip-flopping that we've seen from the vice president. Let me be clear. We don't get involved in elections. We'll analyze what anybody says on anything. But it's pretty clear that the vice president is not serious about this. She hasn't come out and said she supports the wall. She hasn't even had a staff member come out and say it. It's some reporters that are friendly to Harris who are kind of reading tea leaves and saying, aha, we've discovered this new fact. Now, flip-flopping itself isn't necessarily bad in a politician. You know, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, as the gospel says. But the question is, do we really believe this is repentance? Is she really contrite over her own administration's actions? Maybe, but let's see the proof. And the proof would be she goes to the border, has a press conference and says, you know, we were wrong about this and I've completely rethought it. And so we're going to totally go in a different direction if I get in the White House.
Yeah, great point. I mean, number one, as the borders are, as the one given the responsibility for the border, she didn't even visit the border. She got relatively close one time, but she did nothing. She didn't even visit there. And you bring up a good point that even in the ad, she does not say she's in favor of the wall. It just has images of the wall behind in the background and comments saying she's tough on the border. So I think people need to look at all of this. But this ad, even as you're bringing up, is something that even the legacy media is not able to ignore.
Yeah, definitely not. And remember, it's one more issue on top of other non-immigration issues where she's done the same thing. And at some point, even the legacy media has a little vestigial self-respect left to say, come on, enough is enough here. So we'll see if she's asked about it during this, this vaunted interview she's going to do with Tim Walz as kind of babysitting her with CNN. I don't know. Let's see. But on the border, you know, again, as on other issues, which I don't work on and other people are concerned about, but she has to come out and say, look, this is why I thought this in the past, and I learned that I was mistaken, and here's why I believe this now. That, again, you know, as a citizen, I'm eager to hear that. Is it true? But the very fact that she's not doing this, she's not saying why she thought borders were border walls. She called the wall at one point a medieval vanity project of Donald Trump. Okay, well, why did you think that then? And why have you changed your mind? Explain. Maybe you're right. People change. People learn. Explain why that's true. And I'm skeptical because so far we haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, excellent points. And I would just say if she's being babysat by Governor Walz, I would be concerned about that. I don't know that I would have him as a babysitter to start with. But anyway, back to this whole false narrative that you so powerfully connect all the dots here. Much of the claim of being strong on the border goes back to the bipartisan border bill, which was a very weak bill. It certainly could not be compared to H.R. 2, a border bill that the Republicans put out.
Yeah, and it's actually worse than a weak bill. See, a weak bill, you can say, okay, look, we can only get a little bit, so let's take what we can get and we'll try to get more. That's the way compromise works. A weak bill would actually be better than this Senate bill, the so-called bipartisan bill that Senator Lankford and others supported that the Democrats are touting, because it actually is worse than that. It was drafted by Biden's Homeland Security Department. He basically tricked the Republican senator in that group, Senator Lankford, into backing it because he didn't understand what was in it. What would it have done? What it would have done is codify in law the illegal immigration policies that this administration is undertaking. So that's my point, is that bill would have been much worse than just a weak bill that didn't do much. It actually did a lot, and it would have been bad, most of it.
So what is going to be the reaction of the American people? Are they going to buy this ad and similar narratives being pushed during this campaign, or are they wise enough to see the truth?
From your lips to God's ears is all I can say. But I don't know. Look, I'm not a campaign strategist. I haven't worked on elections. But at some point, there's so much flip-flopping, insincere flip-flopping here, that it just seems to me it's going to break through. Their thinking, of course, is that the people who are committed Democrats are going to vote that way. You vote for her anyway. The people who are committed Republicans are going to vote against her anyway. And so the point of this is people who don't pay a lot of attention to politics, they kind of hear in the background, oh, she's for the wall. That sounds good. That's kind of what their goal is here. Maybe it'll work. I don't know, but it doesn't.
We'll see.
You can only do it once, it seems to me, for it to work. You keep doing it on every issue, people aren't going to believe you anymore.
Thank you, Mark Krikorian, Executive Director at the Center for Immigration Studies. Great discussion. Thank you for coming on Washington Watch.
Thank you.
All right, after the break, we've got an Idaho National Guard commander who was removed for personal social media posts. You don't want to miss it. We'll bring that story your way in just a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. Welcome back. I'm Jody Heiss. Glad to have you with us. All right. Last July, an infantry officer was removed from command by the Idaho National Guard after a complaint was filed over his public expression of his religious beliefs and political views on matters of truth and decency, morality, including human sexuality. And prior to that, in fact, he was pressured to resign regarding public statements that he had made outside the military environment. Well, our friends at Liberty Counsel have stepped in on that officer's behalf, and they are looking to set things right. Joining me now to discuss this is Daniel Smid, Liberty Counsel's Associate Vice President of Legal Affairs. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch. Thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so to the extent that you can, let's go into greater detail about what exactly happened.
Yes, well, as you mentioned, an infantry officer has been, well, a complaint was filed against him. And then immediately upon receipt of the complaint, some of the superiors in his chain of command brought him in and said, "You will resign or we'll make this ugly." Those were the words to him. They forced him to resign without counsel, without the presence of counsel, and without advice of counsel. And as soon as he contacted us, we instructed him to rescind that, obviously. And now he has rescinded his forced resignation. But as you mentioned, the complaint was not based on anything he did as a commanding officer. It was as speech that he made outside of the military context, in the context of a political campaign, mind you. He was running for office. He was making statements on various issues in the culture today from a religious perspective. The First Amendment affords him that right, for sure. But it was the subject of a investigation that's ongoing even to this day.
All right. So just for those of us who get the broad picture, what are the potential legal ramifications here? What are the legal issues that need to be considered that people need to look at this and say, ah, that's why this is so important?
Well, let's be sure that the individuals who sign up to defend our liberties, our constitutional rights, are entitled to those same rights, namely the First Amendment. You don't surrender your constitutional rights or your statutory rights under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and others just because you sign up for military service. So this individual that we represent I was entitled to speak his mind. He was entitled to political speech. He was entitled to hold religious values and to espouse those values in life and in his speech. He didn't surrender those. He's entitled to the same constitution that he swore an oath to defend. And we ought to stand up and defend him. So the rights at issue here are his First Amendment right to speak, his First Amendment right to associate with others for political and religious purposes, and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which protects members of the military from this very punishment.
So, I mean, so why the disregard for the law? Why do we continue seeing instances like this when the legal issues appear to be so crystal clear?
That's the sad part, isn't it, Jody? Because we've seen this before. I was on your program not 6-8 months ago talking about the attempted purge of religious adherents for the COVID vaccine mandates. And right. There was just a blatant disregard for the law in that realm as well. So disturbingly, in the current administration, we see a open disregard for people of faith, for those who espouse conservative views. And as part of this particular complaint, there was a reference in the investigation to a Department of Defense instruction, which you might recall, we termed it and others termed it as an attempt to purge conservatives from the ranks right. of the military. And it was this instruction that said, we're going to root out extremism. And it was written so broadly to cover individuals like this officer, just because he espoused his religious values, because he engaged in political speech, and because he decided to run for office on truth and morality, including the type of materials that are being put in the local schools there, the transgender issues that seem to have run amok and gone crazy these days. And he was just espousing his views on what the response in culture and in government should be. He's entitled to that. But yet under the current administration, it seems we don't want those guys in the military service. We'll purge them by virtue of vaccine mandates, or we'll purge them by virtue of, let's look at all their social media and term them extremists, and we'll get rid of them. It's astounding what's taking place in the military right now. And these are our heroes. These are the ones who signed Absolutely. Up to defend us. And they're entitled to the same protections that you and I are, and we should make sure that they receive them.
Absolutely. We've got less than a minute left. What are you hoping is going to come out of this, and where do things stand, real quickly?
There's currently the administrative proceeding that's going on, and he's represented by a good man in that regard as well. And we're leaning on the governor and threatening, if necessary, federal action to ensure that this man's protected. The Idaho governor can step in. He's the commander-in-chief of the Idaho National Guard. And he has the authority to say, knock this off. We're not going to have this no Christians in command policy. We're not going to recognize that. The First Amendment doesn't recognize it. The Constitution doesn't recognize it. And we're not going to recognize it. So we're asking him to basically rescind the findings of the investigator and reinstate this man to the role he deserves.
Thank you for being on the tip of the spear on this. Daniel Smith, Liberty Counsel. Thank you. You guys are doing an awesome job. Thank you for standing for this infantry officer and thereby standing in behalf of every one of us. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, we thank you, Jody. Thank you for covering.
After the break, we're going to be talking about election integrity, specifically coming out of Texas, as they have now removed over 1 million names from the voting rolls after the state found them to be ineligible. You want to hear about this, and we'll cover it in just a second.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, and glad to have you with us. Just a reminder, the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit takes place October 3rd through October 6th in Washington, D.C., and we would love to have you join us. You can get more information, and you can even register today by going to the website prayvotestand.org. prayvotestand.org. Go check it out, and if any way possible, come join us. Also, I want to, again, encourage you to make your voice heard with FRC's 2024 election survey. If you are concerned, and I know you are, about the direction of our country and where we're headed, then your voice can make a difference, and we really want to hear where you stand so we can amplify those things. Simply text the word election to 67742, election to 67742, to participate in that survey, and thank you so much for doing so. Speaking of elections, efforts continue on multiple fronts to protect the integrity of our elections. Back in 2021, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law Election Integrity Bill SB1. It does a host of things, but among other things, it implemented a monthly check on the voter registration list to verify the accuracy of citizenship status information previously provided. Well, since that time, Texas has purged 1.1 million names from the voting rolls after the state found them to be ineligible. Now, here's the question, folks. This is the issue. Imagine if Texas had not been diligent about that. Imagine if today they had over a million people who were potentially about to vote and they were not eligible or legal to do so. A million votes is a vast number. Shouldn't this be something that's done across the entire nation? Well, joining me now to talk about this and more is J. Christian Adams. He's the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Christian, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always good to have you. Christian, I can't hear you.
Thank you, sir, for having me. Sorry.
All right. There we go. Got you now. Listen, first, let's just start with your reaction to the announcement earlier this week by Governor Abbott about that purge.
Well, first of all, you asked the question, what if these 1 million ineligible voters were not removed from the voter rolls in Texas? And I will tell you that that would be called Michigan, because in Michigan, we've been in litigation against Michigan because Secretary Jocelyn Benson won't remove at least 28,000 dead voters from the voter rolls. And we've had to fight in court. We're now in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals against her. But look, this is good standardless maintenance. Let's hope they got it accurate. It's a little strange to see a million come off all at once. I watch this. Normally, it's much smaller numbers, even in big states. So I hope that means they've been doing it regularly in the past, not just catching up, and also not doing it sort of haphazardly. This can be a complicated process, but it's a good thing for states to be looking.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but that's a good point. My understanding was that they've been doing this since 2021, keeping a score of it. But it's a good point about all at once. I would say you would really offend Texas if you called them Michigan. I'm sure Texans would say that. But repeat for me again, how many dead people are on the rolls in Michigan?
Well, look, when we did a data run that led to the lawsuit, it was 27,000 or so. And that was only looking at people over the age of 70. So if you died at the age of 40 or 50 or 55 or 60 even, in Michigan, we wouldn't have necessarily made that part of our lawsuit. So it's clearly more than 27,000. Some of these people have been dead, Congressman, since the 1990s. If you go to our
and
website,
still on the rolls.
Yeah, if you go to our website of Public Interest Legal Foundation and look at the Michigan files, you can see us visiting some of their grave sites. We go and visit their graves of people who died in the 90s who were still active on the voter rolls in Michigan.
Wow. Well, I tell you, if we're going to compare Texas to Michigan, my mind just goes a thousand directions of what I would compare Michigan with what you're talking about now. I mean, those are just unbelievable stats there. All right, let's go back to Texas, this SB1. There's a lot more common sense actions that were part of that bill, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas has been one of the leaders in making sure that the elections are clean. For example, they have a law there that if you just go out and register voters, you have to get training, you have to get deputized, and you can't engage in bad conduct. And of course, the left challenged this law in court, and it was upheld. But I could go through a lot of things that Texas has done that other states need to do and probably will never do, like California, write that one off because they're not going to do what Texas does. And look, there's other good states out there. Florida is a model of good election administration. They get it done on election night. They can tell you who won the election in Florida.
And that's a big state. It's remarkable. But it wasn't that many years ago. Florida had problems, and they corrected it. I agree with you. What a model state they've become. All right. Texas has frequently occurred, and not just Texas. Many are accused of suppressing minority votes with some of these cleansing processes to try to get an accurate list of who's eligible voters. How do you respond to these minority suppression argument?
Well, first of all, I always like to point out that suppression is a fake word. It's not in any federal law. It's a made-up word by the left. Voter suppression to attempt to blend the legal with the illegal. So if you have voter ID, it's voter suppression. If you clean voter rolls, it's voter suppression. And it sounds very nefarious, but it's a fake word. It doesn't exist in the law. What does exist is intimidation, coercion, and threats. There's no such thing as voter suppression, but you know, tell that to the left. They don't like to hear it. But what it does mean, Congressman, is that states that are cleaning their voter rolls are following federal law. States have an obligation to follow federal law and have a reasonable list maintenance program that removes the deads and people who moved away. And kudos to Texas, kudos to Florida, kudos to a lot of states, Ohio, that have good laws in place and good practices to make our elections secure.
Well, and kudos to you for doing everything you can to protect the integrity of our elections. And you're doing it even right here in this conversation. We're talking about a number of states, but you also found some issues in Nevada, Clark County there. What did you find?
terrible stuff. It breaks my heart to see how bad things have gotten in Nevada, because you have automatic mail voting in Nevada. Don't forget, most of your viewers don't know, thankfully, about this because it's a bad idea, where everybody on the voter rolls, even if they don't ask, gets a ballot mailed to them at their last known address. And those ballots are going out by the hundreds of thousands without request. And what we have found is that Nevada has lots of commercial addresses where those ballots are going improperly. Strip clubs, casinos, bars, vacant lots, liquor stores, a Sonic drive-in even in Las Vegas had a purported registered voter. We visited these places. You can watch that video if you Google PILF Nevada commercial addresses. And what we did is we sued Clark County and also Washoe County, which is Reno. But Clark, thankfully, took steps to fix this problem. And they are, you know, going at the problem where they had just let it languish for years of all these businesses and bars and strip clubs getting ballots mailed to them because they're commercial addresses. That's not how it's supposed to work.
No, that's not how it's supposed to work. What do you say to those who perhaps don't grasp just how important efforts like these are to clean up the rolls?
Yeah, when you have automatic mail voting in a swing state like Nevada, where every single registered voter gets a ballot mailed, even if they don't ask, even if they're not alive anymore, a ballot goes out. That changes the course of a lot of elections, in my view. You had a U.S. Senate race with Adam Laxalt was decided by only 7,000 votes. In that same race, we knew that 95,000 ballots went unaccounted for. We don't know what happened to them, garbage cans, dumpsters, whatever. And so it's just the wrong way to be picking leaders by automatically mailing ballots to every single person on the list.
Especially when you know the list is so grossly inaccurate. But it's not just Texas, Michigan, Florida, whatever, Nevada. You've got other lawsuits going on, correct?
Oh, my gosh. Active from Maine to New Mexico to California and every place in between, it seems. I think we have 19 active lawsuits right now.
Wow. Well, again, hats off to you for that work. And to underscore, what you're doing is on behalf of the entire nation. And there are millions who share your concern and are just so grateful for the work you're doing. Let's talk about, if we can, for a few moments about election results. Following what we saw in 2020, many people out there may be wondering, are we going to be able to know the results on election night?
This is a national problem that undermines the consent of the governed. And we should be getting results like they do in Florida. We have a report called From Worst to First in Florida, because now they get everything in on election night. We've had to sue Virginia when they were fudging state law and allowing ballots to keep rolling in for weeks without postmarks. I mean, this is an ongoing problem. And if you want to restore trust in the process, get the job done on time. Get the results in. Don't have the country languishing for days and weeks with uncertainty like happened in Michigan and all sorts of other places, Pennsylvania. I mean, it takes Philadelphia. Are you kidding me? In Philadelphia, they can't get anything done quickly, and they didn't have results for ages in Philly. So, look, we sued North Dakota to try to get a clarity on election day, meaning you can't be sending ballots in for weeks. The judge said our client didn't have standing. Judicial Watch has sued on behalf of the Libertarian Party in Mississippi to try to get some clarity on finality of the election. This is an important issue that Congress might have to address, of clarifying what it means to have a single election day.
Yeah, and you bring up Mississippi. As I understand there, they've got a law that accepts and counts ballots up to 5 days after the election. Like, how can you do that? And the sad truth, what I'm hearing you say, is Mississippi is certainly not alone in this.
North Dakota, it's 2 weeks. And our complaint in North Dakota when we sued there showed that some ballots were coming in without postmarks 2 weeks later in North Dakota. And, you know, like I said, our client apparently didn't have standing, according to the federal judge, you know, that threw the case out. But something's got to be done. These elections can't go on for weeks if we want to trust the results.
All right. Tell me if I am wrong, please. But does not the law require ballots to arrive by election day?
Boy, I wish you were right, and I think it does. There's a single election day statute, but
right.
And remember, every state's different. But the federal court in Mississippi said they just have to be postmarked by election day to comply with that federal statute. They could come rolling in for as ever long as the Mississippi legislature decides. That's going to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We filed a brief on this last week, and so this is something Congress might have to address if Congress ever gets the numbers to address it.
There is, we have a lot of problems in this country. None of us ignore that fact. But beyond spiritual issues and so forth, I don't know of anything that is any greater in its importance than secure elections. If that is lost, then the voice of the people is gone. How can we ever correct course if we don't have elections of integrity? This is a major issue that has to be corrected.
Well, that's why the Public Interest Legal Foundation exists, is we do what we can fighting the courts to you know, to work on this. But, you know, we're just one group, and this is a big issue. I think that there's a lot of very dangerous problems facing the country. I think you're right that this is probably second, maybe a close third, or a whole millions of teenagers zoned out on social media and their phones. But, you know, I can't do anything about that one, except parents can. And so I think secure elections is definitely.
We can work on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our time's almost up. I just got to ask you before we wrap up, going into this election, bird's eye view on the election integrity fights taking place, what the future holds going into this election cycle, real quickly.
Yeah, this is going to be better than 2020. The left has not obliterated all kinds of state laws everywhere like they did with COVID in 2020. There's a lot more eyes on the game. This is going to be a much better process than it was 4 years ago. I can promise you that. So don't think your vote is not going to count.
And so, again, that just underscores what we say around here all the time, the absolute necessity to vote. We cannot approach this with an attitude, I'm just going to stay at home.
Oof, disaster. Look, I promise you, the other side views this, a lot of people view this as a religion, right? This is their substitute yep. religion. And when they're doing that, you got to go vote.
We got to go vote. Got to go vote. Pray, vote, stand. Pray, vote, stand. Thank you, J. Christian Adams. We appreciate you and all the work of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Great job. Appreciate you coming on today. All right, friends, that wraps up yet another edition of Washington Watch. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, our mission to keep you informed with the truth from a biblical worldview perspective. Have a fantastic remainder of your evening, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.